The reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 3, verses 1 to 18, and can be found on page 971 of the Green Church Bibles. That's Luke chapter 3. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod Tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip Tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias Tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, "A voice of one calling in the desert, 'Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him.' Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all mankind will see God's salvation." John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." "What should we do then?" the crowd asked. John answered, "The man with two tunics should share with him who has none, and the one who has food should do the same." Tax collectors also came to be baptized. "Teacher," they asked, "what should we do?" "Don't collect any more than you are required to," he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, "And what should we do?" He replied, "Don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay." The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And with many other words, John exhorted the people and preached the good news to them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Di, for starting us with that reading this morning. Starts off with lots of names. We did debate whether to cut some of the names out because it seemed quite a long reading, but actually names are important in the Bible. If you remember when Gabriel appeared to Mary, she said that Jesus would be called Jesus, and when the angel appeared to John's father, he said his name would be John. Names are crucial. And God's name is holy for us. And your name is special for God too. Each one of us called. Let's start in prayer. Let's be still a moment. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you that you've called us to know you. And as we start this new year, Lord, we just pray that you will open your words to our hearts, that we will understand the relationship that you want to have with us, that you will help us to become the people you want us to be, and help us to know your love more. Amen. I just wonder how you regard signs. I've just got a few examples here, and if you've been driving around different parts of the country in the last few weeks, you might have recognised this one, but always seems to be that somebody ignores the flooding sign and drives through. Most people end up getting stuck. This one, I haven't quite got to that stage yet, but I don't think we'd ignore that one. You might have to look a little bit closely at that, but some people just ignore the obvious. And that one particularly, if you've got children, you probably wouldn't ignore. No swimming crocodiles. They did cut out the bit of the crocodile, so I think you might have missed that one. This one particularly, you might not actually take any notice of, but might resonate a little bit with where we are going today. And this is the man. This is the man. So this is the man we're looking at this morning, John the Baptist. A man who was warning people that they needed to change. And we just celebrated Christmas. And although the reading today takes place some 30 years after the Christmas story, it's actually part of the Christmas story too. I don't know if you recall a few weeks ago when we started the passage of Luke, Tom was talking to us about Zechariah. And Zechariah was serving in the temple when the angel appeared to him, telling him that his wife, who was old, was going to have a baby. It would be a miracle baby. And that baby would be called John, and he'd have this special role to play. That baby would grow up to be the Baptist that we read about this morning. Charlotte was talking about preparation and about planning this morning. And God was putting those plans into place before Jesus was born. This baby, John, was no random child. He'd be filled with the Holy Spirit before birth. And his mission would be to bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. He would be the forerunner, as it were, the signpost that would bridge many. The people of Israel bringing them back to the Lord their God. A signpost that would bridge the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the Old promises of the Jewish people to the New Covenant, the New Testament of Jesus the Messiah, the Saviour of the world. So 30 years later, John starts his ministry, just as the prophet Isaiah had foretold about 400 years before. God sends John to break the news that the long-awaited Messiah of the world has come. It was time to change, and it was time to prepare. Often I think we believe that John was just calling the non-believers to repent, just as Jesus did later. Often the people he was addressing to was actually the church of the time. Those who considered themselves religious, the church of its day. The people's response wasn't as you would expect. I don't know whether you'd respond to this strange-looking man. We saw some pictures earlier on, a man who lived in the desert, a little bit strange perhaps, but people responded to his message while calling themselves God's people. They'd actually fallen a long way behind what God wanted them to be. They responded to his message and were baptized in the river, an outward sign of being cleansed. He built up quite a following, but John was just a signpost. He didn't want the attention. Some people thought he was the Messiah, but no, he wanted to point the way to Jesus, the Messiah that those people were waiting for. In verse 16 there we read, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." I wonder if any of you have started reading the Bible with us, reading the Bible in a year. Hands up if you started. Well done for those. It's good. If you'd have read Matthew's account of John the Baptist, that would have been Friday, was it? That line, "Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near." But repentance doesn't just mean being sorry. It means more than that. It means turning round, to turn back to God, making a conscious decision. And surely that doesn't apply to us today, does it? Yes, it does. This morning, that call to repent is for us too. Do we see perhaps any of those warning signs in our own life? Perhaps we're ignoring the dangers that suffocate our spiritual life. So at the beginning of this new year, we need to hear him calling us from the old lifestyles, the old ways, the old habits, the selfishness, the sin that are formed in us, and to change us to the new lifestyle, the new ways, the new habits that God has for us. So this morning, two questions. Firstly, where are you in your journey with God? Where are you in your journey with God? Like those that John was preaching to in our reading today, has your life just reverted to religious duty? Perhaps we go to church, perhaps we do the church stuff. But is our relationship with Jesus the most important thing? Or are we just tacking our church life onto our very worldly one? This morning, do we need to turn back to Jesus? Do we need to turn back and follow Jesus together? And the second question I'd like to ask you is, where does your life and witness lead others? Does your life and your witness lead others to Jesus? Do others see the transforming work of Jesus in our lives? Because we can only make followers of Jesus if we know him ourselves. In the referendum vote and in the elections, you'd have heard Jeremy Corbyn say that I'm neutral on the position of Brexit. Jesus says that a position with him is not possible. In Matthew 12, he said, whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather scatters. So firstly, perhaps we need to acknowledge that we have moved away from God. And this year, we'd like to say that thing that John said, that I must become less so that he becomes greater in our lives. Many years ago, when I attended a Baptist church as a child, I used to go to Sunday school, and two of my slightly older friends decided they wanted to be baptized. And hands up if you've actually witnessed an adult baptism or an older person being baptized. For me, it was a wonderful thing. I was quite frightened, really. Suddenly, this hole appeared in the floor where there'd never been a hole in the church, and there was a deep pool and lots of water in it. And my two friends stood up. And before they went into the water to be baptized, they shared what Jesus meant in their lives. And it really touched me that Jesus had changed them so much that they were prepared to stand up and say that to friends and family that had visited. It was a real witness to me. I remember the two people. I remember them going down and coming up very, very wet. But it's a wonderful sign. Sometimes as Anglicans, we do the splashy water bit when we're babies. Perhaps we do the confirmation bit. And perhaps we don't ever have that bit where we face and make that confession to other Christians. But this year, as we start a new year, let's stand together. Let's make those decisions to actually turn from those things that we've slipped away into and to turn back to Jesus, our Lord, our Saviour, the Messiah. Let's be still a moment. Father God, we just thank you for the message of John the Baptist. We thank you for the gift of life you gave in him and the gift of life you gave so many through his word. His word that led to Jesus Christ. Father, you know what we've become. You know us intimately. And I would just pray that you challenge us to read your word. You challenge us to share together. You challenge us to turn to you and to put our trust in you, that you would prepare our hearts, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.